Oh, testing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Testing, 1, 2, testing, testing. Testing. Testing, 1, 2, testing, testing. I think it's up. Testing, 1, 2, testing, testing. This is good. Testing, 1, 2. I'm going to test with Bruce. Let me see. Okay, Bruce, I'll keep trying. Thank you. Don't even try.
What the? Is that? How's that?
Yeah.
Oh, look, this came back on.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. You will try anything. I get it. All right. You might be live right now because I turned it on to try to get Bruce fixed up, but Bruce didn't get in. So anyway, I see you at 6, sir.
All right.
Jeremiah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's up, sir?
How you doing?
I'm
doing pretty good. I'm doing better.
Okay.
It's been a rigorous new year, but I'm doing good.
Wait a minute. What time?
It's 6.
Yep. Hold on. Evening, this February Sunday afternoon, where weather has been strange all over the place here in Atlanta. We did not get any snow, but 30 miles down the road, snow was covering towns and everywhere. With me on the line right now are two of the youngins. I got Jeremiah and Spencer, and Spencer was actually had video on his Facebook of the snow. So Spencer, tell us, did it snow a lot?
Yeah, it snowed a couple inches, about 3 inches of snow. You know, snow was everywhere. It was about 3 inches of snow. It was just icy and everything. It was nice to see. I wasn't expecting it, but it was very nice to see. And it snowed a lot here, very lot.
Okay. So what's the weather like in Miami? There we go. No, I'm sorry.
You know,
yes.
we're at about 75 degrees, kind of windy. You know?
There are a lot of people listening that are mad at you right now.
Why is that? Because let me guess, haven't been around lately a little bit there, huh?
No, they're mad at you for that, and because now you're not only did you not show up, you're now bragging about how nice it is down in Miami.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, if they're intrigued to move to Miami, you know, it's just, you know, got to migrate sometimes, man, where the better weather is.
That's true. Miami is nice. But right now, you're the only two with me. I know that the other guys have all been texting me. They're all like running around doing things. But so I want to start off about this Gayle King debacle that she did that seems to be making everybody mad at her and Oprah Winfrey, about the Kobe Bryant statement she made about what the alleged rape that he supposedly was involved in ruin his, you know, his legacy. And it seems everybody's mad at everybody. Everybody in the industry, in the rap industry, just all went berserk on that. Everybody who liked Kobe have all gone crazy. And she said that it was, that was not the question, that, that it was about a 5-minute interview. And I heard that 2.5 minutes were on this particular subject. So that was half of the interview. But she's trying to say that they took it, taking it out of context. And then Oprah came and said, you know, that she is on Gayle King. Well, of course she is. That's a girlfriend. So what do you think, Spencer?
I thought it was an inappropriate question at the time and to the person. And from what I hear, that, you know, that's one of Kobe's best friends, you know, as far as best female friends. I don't think it was right to even ask her that question. And at the time, you know, people are still grieving. I didn't see any other media outlets. I've heard there was other media outlets. I haven't seen anything that came out and was actually talking about the allegations myself. I wondered what it had come out, but she was the first one I've seen that was, after days had passed, that spoke on it. I just think it was the timing of it wasn't just right, and the person that she asked of it. Clearly, Lisa Leslie, you know, she handled herself. She didn't, you know, she spoke highly of him, and, you know, she handled herself with class, and as far as, you know, kind of not deflecting the question, but just answering the question truthfully. So it's with respect to her. And like I said, I just think the timing was just wrong. It was just off, and the person. And it probably shouldn't have been brought up because he was you know, found innocent, but wasn't found guilty of the crime that was said that he had committed. So I don't think it should have actually been brought up.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange to bring that particular of the man's whole life. Why would you ask that particular question, especially since he wasn't found guilty of it? Although, because, well, her comment was that he gave the girl some money, and that's why it wasn't, you know, that why it was dismissed. She wouldn't testify, but there was she got some money for it. So,
how do we know that's not what she was targeting initially? You know,
right.
You know, and I heard that. If I'm not mistaken, I'm just going based solely. I didn't hear you.
No, go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, going solely off of when it happened years ago, I think she made the claim late. So, to my understanding, she kind of, maybe someone talked her into doing it, you know. And a lot of times, you know, sex is somewhat consensual, but when you realize the person you just had sex with, the magnitude that they have on life as people, as fans, the NBA, like, wait, hold on, I got something here, you know? So, I mean, and I think this is a bad time to talk about negatives. You know, why she couldn't talk about that and dispel all the negative things she had to say, you know, maybe after he retired. But, you know, after the man's death, that's very emotion. She has no emotions. You know,
right.
She doesn't care. And then to do this on air somewhere, you know, it's ridiculous.
And, you know, see, I think people is also mad. Another part of that is, you know, she's been involved with Harvey Weinstein and plenty of pictures, plenty of interviews, and the way that the public sees Oprah and Gayle, like, they're one and the same. And, you know, Oprah has been going after, you know, black men that have been accused of these crimes of, you know, sexual assault and things like that, but they haven't interviewed any of the white counterparts that they know have interviewed them about these sexual allegations. And one of the things with Gail, they've been putting photos, and she knows Harvey Weinstein, but she never saw the interview. She never came out to say anything about him or to give an interview or anything of that nature. So she's also getting some flack for that also.
Right. That is so true that they have pictures of her hanging with Weinstein and several others who have been, that have been accused that she's been hanging out with and stuff. So she didn't do anything with these others, but she brought this up.
Right.
So I have a question that I want to get your guys' opinion on. It seems like the New York, it's the New York governor is trying to consider that drivers in New York City wear helmets when they're driving. What do you think about that there, Jeremiah?
Well, I just think if we get companies to sell safer cars, we should be fine. I mean, not helmets and come on now. Nah, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. If you're on a motorcycle,
well, I mean, I understand if it was a motorcycle, but in your car.
And in a vehicle, that's not even, you know, it might hinder your ability to actually see actual things while you're driving. How can you see good with a helmet on? You know, it cuts out some of your peripheral. You know, like, it's not coming, it doesn't make sense to me unless it's a special one, but I still wouldn't want to wear it, you know? You know, only time you have like real head injuries is with head-on accidents. You know, I think that's most of the times you have head-on accidents. You have those head injuries. You know, but you know, I don't think that's something that we need in the U.S. here.
Okay. Somebody came on, I don't know who this number is, but it sounds like a person, but he had background noise. Hello? Hello, sir? Or 659? Oh, he hung up. Now he hung up. Okay. I don't know who that was. Anyway, all right, so Spencer.
Probably one of my fans. You know, I'm going to say hi early on.
I know. It sounded like one. Spencer, you want to wear a helmet when you're driving around?
No way. I agree with Jeremiah. Definitely, I want to be able to make you feel a little comfortable. You'll want to take it off anyways. And, you know, and I agree with him. If we were to make cars safer, then we would have no need for helmets. So instead of putting money behind that or your focus on helmets, you should put your words or stand by, just make the cars more safer so that, you know, we wouldn't need to wear helmets. And I don't think the majority of the New Yorkers, if that's the case, will be wearing helmets or want to wear helmets.
I know, that's kind of crazy. Bruce, how are you doing, sir?
I'm fine. Sorry I'm late to the show. I was out and about in the wild, wild north and couldn't get back right at 6 o'clock. I apologize.
But, you know, I've been trying to call you because I opened up and was on air trying to get you on. But anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. I left you voicemails. Bruce, where are you?
Where am I? I'm up in Traverse City, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Part of God's better creation spots.
Is it snowy up there?
Oh, yeah, big time. They've got right now, I'd say, they didn't have very much when I got up here. I got up here yesterday, but they have at least a foot on this, close to a foot right now. It's steady. It just keeps coming down.
Wow. All right, what we're talking about right now is that the New York governor is considering helmets for drivers of cars. He wants to... He wants to post a bill that would be that drivers, the driver who's driving the car has to wear helmets. What do you
think?
In
what state?
New York.
Well, what I think, first reaction, and then I'll explain, is it's idiocy, idiotic. I understand, you know, the safest way to handle a car, if he wants to go that way, is park it and never drive it, okay? I mean, if we're going to go all the way. At some point, I think I heard when I just popped on, we have to have our own personal responsibility, and you have to be, a helmet won't make your brain work smarter. It might protect it, but a helmet with all the things they do on cars now, to me, it's either a way to get another revenue source or just idiotic thinking. It's ridiculous.
I think so. But he's trying.
Well, we're trying all kinds of things. They want to, you know, now they're talking about driver's license for people that are legally here. And that's another debate, but a privilege to some and not to all. And we're getting our nose in too deep where people should have their own personal responsibility on a number of things, I think. That's a broad brush statement, but I believe it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I don't think that's – I would find it very strange if it actually passed. I even got to vote. I would think that everybody would be
cutting down. Why would anybody even let it bring to some kind of an official vote? That's silly. It's not because we're against safety. We're not against safety, but they're doing all things to cars. And if, you know, a helmet, is it going to be a full-size helmet like a NASCAR helmet? Because a bicycle helmet, you might as well forget it. That's not going to do anything. But we're just going too far in too many directions on trying to regulate things. The best regulator of you, if you're an intelligent person, and almost everybody is, not everybody, almost everybody, is yourself. Yourself within the rules and regulations that make sense. This constant trying to, well, you can't think of this for yourself, so we're going to do this. You can't do that, so we're going to add this. You can't, you know, on and on and on and on and on. It's just, and here in Michigan, I'm a little annoyed that, you know, we're on a sidebar issue to illustrate part of my point, is we now have to have a star license for domestic travel. That's going to be another fee. Yeah, and I think everybody's got that. Now we're going from every 4 years to every three, and you can predict right as rain in Michigan, which is all the time, that if they can, they'll make it two. It's all about revenue, because they're not making us take additional tests or anything. They just basically send in your money, and we'll send you your tab. And now it's down to three, and I predict it's just constant more revenue, and I'm getting tired of it.
You have to have a what kind of license? A star license? What did you say?
Yeah, have to have, or you have, and I'm sure it's nationwide, you have to have an enhanced license by sometime in October. If you do not have that, for domestic travel, even domestic flight travel within the United States, you have to have that or carry your passport around, even domestic flight.
Wow.
Did you hear that before?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
From state
yep.
to state, you have to have some kind of ID to get from. You got to get from Florida to Texas.
And you know,
they're
not going to give you that for free. It's going to be another fee and another fee and another fee.
Right. Wow. All right. So let's talk about Trump. He was acquitted, but... the one senator that is causing a lot of stir is Mitt Romney, because he was the one who voted against it. He thought that what Trump did was wrong. He said what the president did was wrong, and he as a Republican senator went against it. So I know that the president was very, very upset with it. But what do you think about the equipment, Bruce?
Well, the acquittal, you saw it coming. And I think in a lot of ways, from what I've seen, it is, I don't think it's undeserved. It was not, if you really felt that the president did something wrong, and some genuinely feel that he did, and I think he probably would admit, you know, at least message-wise or whatever he might have, they did the process in which they tried to judge and jury him and convict him was totally wrong. It was one-sided. If your case is strong and the Democrats thought it was, then do it the right way and let the chips fall where they should fall. I don't think very few people would argue with that, including myself. But it was so one-sided, and we've gotten so venomous on both sides on how we do things. On what?
Huh? No, nobody said nothing.
Oh, I thought there was an echo. That he has a right to be pissed, excuse my French, by the way it was done. I mean, they have a right to question his judgment and say this was wrong and we're going to prove that it's wrong. Okay, then prove it in the right way. To my opinion, they didn't.
They didn't.
They didn't. And now if the thing that worries me, David, and the rest of us, is if impeachment's going to become a daily tool that every party that isn't in power is going to start using like milk in the morning on your cereal, that is dead wrong. That is not what that was intended for. I don't know that that's going to happen, and I hope it doesn't. But that worries me that it's just going to become a tool of weapon, as they say, you know, weaponizing impeachment. That's not what it was for, not at all. And then they get angry at him because he spits back at them. Well, yeah, you know, in some degrees, he has a right to be angry. He is the general press is not down the middle, which it should be in many cases. I don't want him to be slanted right or left. I want him to give us the facts, and you and I and everybody else decides what's right and wrong. But they don't do that anymore, and it's becoming very toxic. Do you think, David, we're ever going to pull out of this? What do we do to break this crazy stalemate?
We won't ever pull out of it because there's always different sides. Maybe there's two sides now. There could be, you know, more liberals and liberal party or libertarians or whatever. But so I don't ever think we're going to pull out of it. I think it just gets worse, you know.
We're in trouble if what you predict is right. Right now, I think the only way we could pull it back some is if in this case it could go the other way. But in this case, if the Republicans ran the table again, got all three, on top of maybe them, you could say they're going to run rampant, it would squash and maybe make the Democrats think, you know, that's one of the reasons we lost it, because of the impeachment approach. Not that they don't have a right to do it, but it could also flip the other way. It could be all Democratic. I think a party having all three parts of the government, all three branches, is going to throw water on the fire. And I don't know when that's going to happen, if it's ever going to happen.
Right. Difficult. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bruce.
No, I said I agree with you. It is. It's very difficult. And the public is just getting finally – and I'm glad, in a sense, I'm glad to see it, David, is they're just fed up with the way the federal government behaves on both sides. They need to act like grown-up people, not children.
Right. The Democratic caucus was a debacle. I mean, but And not that it was just Democrats, it's the way that we, way that they have designed voting.
Yeah.
You know, first it was Florida and everybody was on Florida's case.
Yeah.
It's all over the world. The way that we are doing it, yeah, using computers and things like that is not working for us. What do you think, Spencer?
I'm sorry, Spencer. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go finish up.
Add one more thing and then I'll shut up. I'm scared to death of letting the general counting of our voting privilege, which is precious and people die for it, being left to electronics is too easily manipulated and we wouldn't know. Ironically, with all these modern technical improvements, the safest thing I chuckle of not messing up or not tampering with is paper.
Right. But, you know, everybody's trying to get you to go, you know, let's do away with paper, let's do computer. But I think computer is scarier than paper in terms of, because a lot of people who don't know the inner workings of a computer, who don't know all of the, you know, what makes it do this or that, you know, people who do know that, that's a small amount of people. That's a small little group. But in writing, everybody knows how to do that. So what were you going to say, Spencer? You were going to talk about it.
No, I was going to say I completely agree as far as the Iowa thing and how it's just sad. I don't even know. I haven't been looking at the news, but I don't even know if they actually got the results out. Have they got the results yet?
They finally did. They finally did. 100% came out, yesterday, David, finally?
Yes, it did. And everybody up to yesterday was saying Buttigieg had won. But after yesterday, Bernie Sanders actually won. Bernie Sanders had the lead, not won. I mean, it's who had the most votes. Bernie Sanders had the most votes. But everybody thought it was Buttigieg. But Bernie Sanders...
The comment from all the participants, Spencer, I heard it on a newscast. Every one of them to a T said, we're so past Iowa's caucus. We don't even care what the results are now. We've moved on.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But it still shows the in the just. I agree with Bruce, just on the whole, just paper and pen thing instead of just electronic. Because so many things could go wrong. It could be manipulated, as you can see.
Yeah.
Whatever they wrote out, it's failed. Failed miserably, actually. And we should just go back to straight paper. It took almost a week and a half, almost 2 weeks just to even get the results. And with this modern age, like I said, you never know what could actually be manipulated or just – It could shoot out the wrong data of who actually was supposed to win. You know, it was saying Buttigieg, but then it was saying that they're tied. Kind of now comes out to say that Bernie Sanders is the actual winner. And do we actually know if that's truly correct? You know, I think, you know, just the old school way, you go in, put it on paper, but with the paper thing, can things get misplaced? Can files go, I guess, or just get missing or stuff like that? I don't know, but you know, if votes pass, it's been effective. Let me just say that it's been effective compared to what we have going on now. And to speak on the Trump acquittal, I think the whole world knows what was coming. I agree with some say it wasn't impeachable. I guess the Republicans, not to say that what he did was wrong. They just don't think it was impeachable offense, you know.
Well, and Spencer, I would tend to agree with you that if he did something wrong, and I tend to think, you know, the more I think about it, he didn't handle certain things the right way, then slap his hand and get him to understand why they think it was wrong. Not impeach the guy and throw him out of office and say all these crazy things over. Make it a learning experience, just like you'd do with if it was parents and children. I mean, they've just gone crazy. I mean, it's just, I don't see it getting any better. And your comment, I couldn't agree with you more on the voting. The more and more we do electronics for ease of speed and convenience, I would bet you money if you canvass the whole United States in paper, mind you, so we get a fair count, that far and away people would say, you know what, I have no problem waiting days or even a week to get the results if it was paper versus electronics, because my biggest fear is with a push of button and a five-minute hack from this person and that person, they can totally make the thing come out any way they want to. And who has been disenfranchised if that happens? All of us that want to vote and all of us that fight to protect that vote. We're all disenfranchised. I could care less if it takes more time. Do it right.
I agree. All right, so we've...
They'll say, well, you want it done quickly and efficiently. Who told you that? I want it done right. R-I-G-H-T.
I agree. Efficiently without the electronics. Let's do it the best way we know how to do it without, you know, messing up somehow. And
yeah.
Electronics are scary because we don't, not everybody understands algorithms and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we go in there, we push a button, and we're assuming that that what we say is going to come out on the other end. We don't know that. That when writing, you know what you wrote down is going to come out, but you don't know.
Yeah, and that still can be manipulated, but far less than this electronic hocus pocus that can occur. And I think almost without question, I mean, far more than the majority of the United States people would agree with that. How about the younger, the youth set, Spencer? Would you agree with that or not?
It probably be mixed. I would think, you know, between like ages of 18 and 24, they will rather make electronic because to them it's faster, and we're in that age. And it's not that I'm opposed to electronic. I just wanted it to be right. And I think he said that this was kind of an experiment of some sort, something that they had just rolled out to see if it worked, and it failed. So I will understand to try it again. I just don't think in this particular election you should roll it out again unless you figure out the flaws of what caused it and everything. And to roll it out on something I don't want to make it on a smaller, but anything that's not voting for the president, I would think would just be on a smaller level since that is the highest office of the land. And if you could roll it out on maybe, I guess, the primaries for, like, you know, the House votes or the Senate votes or stuff like that. I just feel like with this being the presidential election, you tried it, it failed, so if you're going to roll it out. Again, on something else, on something on a little smaller issue.
Yeah, on a smaller scale.
On a smaller scale, right.
Well, the other thing I heard, Spencer, is I thought after the last election that the Democrats did away with the superdelegates. And to me, on the outside looking in, being more on the independent side, I saw the superdelegates as a way, well, we don't like this result, so let's just change it around a bit. And from what I understand, the superdelegates are back. And on top of that, they're thinking now, I mean, I hear more and more talk that the Democratic convention is going to be, what do they call it, brokered, or it's going to be up for grabs.
Wow, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah. That'll be entertainment, man.
Wow.
You won't know who's going to be their candidate.
All right. Let's move on to something else. This is for Jeremiah and Spencer specifically because I want to hear their thoughts on this as well as Bruce's. But this is – it seems that schools – I'm seeing a lot recently on hair and schools. Schools are not agreeing with some of the generation's hairstyles, and they are putting kids out of school. They are won't let them take pictures. They won't let them come to the prom if they have their hair in braids or whatever. But it's gotten worse because there is a young man whose sister has cancer, and he is Caucasian, and he's growing his hair so that they can cut his hair to make a wig for her to wear because she has cancer, her hair's coming out. And so the school is putting him out of school because his hair is too long. And when they show the picture, it's not any longer than Jesus Christ's hair was. But the school system, it seems all over the United States, have this hair issue. When did this become a problem? Hair was never, you know, and it's not that the hair is crazy. It's just that the styles that they're wearing are somehow annoying the older generation in terms of education. Because I have hair on my head does not mean that I'm not getting the stuff that you're teaching me in my head. Spencer, I know that, you know, it's your generation and below. Your kids, if they put someone you know, a young person, out of school because of their hair, would that upset you? Especially if your hair was just crazy or something.
Well, I don't know where this is actually coming from because, you know, we didn't have that issue. At least to my knowledge, we didn't have that issue. But growing up, and I've always had, you know, either my afro or my sometimes I will cornrows. You know, I have braids now. I had dreads before. So it has never been an issue for me. And I really don't know where this is coming from, what started this or led up to this hair crisis we have in education or this dictating of how we should look. Sort of thing to get our education or to even receive our diploma to walk across the stage, I must have this certain look, and I think it's wrong. I don't know if they're trying to get power or what the education system is trying to do. I think this was the superintendent that actually said that nothing would change his mind no matter what happened with this. The latest issue of the kid walking across the stage and now even going across the aisle as far as, you know, he's growing his hair for a cause, and to even condemn him. I don't know why you're even condemning people with hair, I guess. You know, I couldn't tell you why this came about. Or
I
don't know why. I'm
disgusted.
Yeah, unless they're feeding off a society that they want you to have a certain look in order for you to be successful or
quote
to
unquote
do something.
Successful.
You know, but even I'll take it to even in sports, the referee who forced the young guy to wrestle with his haircut. He had to cut off. He actually had to cut off his dreads to wrestle, and he already had it tied up or whatever. I don't even know what that was about. That wasn't even about education, but it's getting out of hand. It's going too far. But I would say besides that, it has – I agree with Jeremiah as he was saying that it's about this look that they want us to have in order to be successful. And there's plenty of people with hair that are successful. I mean, if that's the case, you might as well tell these women to cut their hair because they're too long. You know,
well, a lot of women are getting in trouble for having, you know, long hair and dreads and color hair. I mean, the pink and green hair. They're all of them, all kids, not just, you know, not any specific ethnicity, but it's happening to everyone across the whole United States. I do not. Where did this come from, Jeremiah? I know you were going to say something. What do you think is going on?
Well, I'm kind of a little bit off from what I was initially going to say, but you know, let's call Brad Pitt and tell him to cut his hair. You know, what does it take for me to be successful in your eyes and what does it take for me not have hair? Like, that sounds crazy, you know? And I'm pretty sure my main thing here is I'm disgusted, for one. For two, I'm pretty sure that when this young man was asked any questions about why he's deciding to grow his hair, I'm pretty sure he was not reluctant at telling him exactly why. So they understood his cause. And guess what? Nobody did. Nobody cares. You see, that's the kind of stuff that spiral these kids out of control to do the bad things that they do with harming others at schools. Because guess what? He has a problem at home, for one. His sister is going through something. He's trying to be there for her. Now you're punishing me because I'm helping my sister fight through cancer? That will put a rage and fight in me. So I know he was upset. So, you know, the schools need to focus on our main issues, which is education and safety. You know, not trying to idolize or image or give us a certain image we have to abide by. Now, you know, for example, my fiance told me her brother a few years back in Cape Coral, Florida, you know, they didn't want your hair past your ears. So maybe a baby afro or a little bit of hair, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, it doesn't make sense. You know, we should be worried about other things. You know, and the thing is, are these schools even private schools? You know, I went to a private school. Oh. They were pretty hard on you as far as your tie. Yeah. What did you say, David?
They said, no, these are public schools that are causing these issues.
Oh, wow. So I know private schools are very hard on you. I mean, we should care about them grooming themselves, them being clean, being fresh, being coming to school ready to learn and them being clean. Now, how long your hair is, why is that a problem? You know, because – you know, what you got to say is because of your religion for them to leave you alone. It doesn't make any sense. You know, something needs to happen about this nationally, because we need to pay attention to, again, safety and education, not how long is your hair and why are you growing your hair. Really? We got other things to be worried about here.
Where do you think, because it seems that the Department of Education is not doing anything about this. And they're leaving it up to the schools. So the schools all have dress codes. The schools are redesigning their dress codes to handle this situation so that they can make people do what they want to do. Who should do, you know, people who are listening, is that should be, we go to our PTA meetings and have this discussion, which is what I think should happen. But what do you think should happen there, Jeremiah?
Well, it starts with, you know, I hope these kids are going home and voicing their opinions and their frustration with their parents, because their parents are their backbone. So I agree with you. PTA meetings, you know, let's set up a few appointments to meet this principal and teacher and that kind of stuff, you know, the admin staff of the school, and take it up the chain of command. You know, you talk to the principal first. If that doesn't work, you go to the school board. Whichever, you know, city or county your child goes to school. And if that doesn't work, you go on top of their head, you know. But our kids need to be themselves. And if you decide to grow an afro, if you decide to grow your rocker style, if you get your Brad Pitt Jr., I don't care what you want. As long as you're getting decent grades and you're not, it's not wild, it's groomed, we're fine. You know,
something you said that came to my mind, because you said that this is how kids get out of control and they start protesting. Well, I was thinking the young man who was growing hair for his sister and the school is giving him a hard time and won't let him graduate and walk across stage or whatever. Now the other, his friends and their friends are all going to get together and say, this is wrong. This is school. We're going to get together. And that's how they form these little games. That's how the bad happens. That's how they cause
that's
the
what
bad
I was saying.
To happen. Yeah.
That's what I was saying, because he's meaning good to his sister, supporting his sister, and you're telling him basically this is wrong what you're doing. You know what I mean? So
right.
it's gonna instill some type of anger in you, inner anger. You know, and that's almost considered to being picked on and bullied, because some of these kids that do these things and create, you know, dangerous situations at these schools are kids that are picked on not liked, not listened to, you know, stuff like that.
And a teacher that would agree with that the person shouldn't be doing it, the students in that class are now going to get lower grades because they're not going to pay attention to that teacher anymore. Actually, they're going to act out in class. And it's it seems to me that this is just causing a mess.
It's going to be a total disruption.
Yeah, the outcome of not letting a child do something to support his own family is a negative. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I agree with a lot of what's just been said. If I had the wonderful opportunity to stand in front of a whole auditorium full of kids with every kind of shape, size, style of hair, and said, look, we're all together today because the school just can't deal with, and you've been the brunt of hair issues. So, ladies and gentlemen, how are we going to solve this problem? I think we can all come to a reasonable solution that, as I heard one of us say, it's self-expression, and within certain limits, so it's not detracting from learning in the class, you're going to be able to have personal expression. So let's figure out, I mean, it's not ultimate details in a big guidebook, but let's figure out what that means. Within certain limits, how can you express yourself? And I couldn't agree more. If the young man was genuinely growing his hair long to help his sister, this administration at this school is totally out of line. Now, if they have an issue with him for some reason, well, it's going to be too old. Well, then find a way to let him keep the hair, do what he wants for his sister, and make it presentable enough for the interim. You're as I think also I heard someone say, you're doing just the opposite by telling him, no, you can't do that. You're ticking him off, and he may or may not rebel in a negative way. But why even go there? Why create that situation? These kids are smart. They have heads on their shoulders. They have hair on their heads. Come up with, lead them to a decision. Don't mandate and jam something down their throats that they're going to rebel with. We have enough important things that we have to deal with, not the style and the length of their and color of their hair, for gosh sakes.
Right.
That's what I would tell you. And we wouldn't leave that room until we had some framework of, okay, we understand your concern, and here how the students and everybody came together. These are the guidelines. And if you think someone steps out of those guidelines, the school management and even the own students will police that because they don't want to be hassled. And you'd be amazed how students would police themselves if they felt they were part of the solution, not being dictated to.
Wow. I want to bring up that I do remember, and I did send out in Facebook a couple of months ago, a principal of a school. This little boy had cancer and he was getting bald and all the kids were picking on him. So the teacher let him cut his hair off in the middle of an auditorium and all the kids saw it. So I do know that there are those few out there who are trying, you know, educators who are trying to make it good, but there are more of the negative than the positive. And we have to make sure that as adults, when we, because we don't really get a chance to vote on who the superintendent is and who the principals are. But I think, you know, that's something we need to be interested in, that when in these PTA meetings, that there should be, when they're searching, there should be a member of the PTA that's part of the search parties and things like that. I think that's something we as citizens should mandate or try to get going. Anyway.
Can I add one other thing, David?
Sure.
And I use this phrase a lot when I try to mentor or just have a conversation with youngsters or young adults. Is we're getting into this mentality of what I call piranha thinking. We have these schools of piranha that just swim around and look for issues to attack or eat or to make sensationalize. And one day it's the American flag. The next day it's the length of your hair. Another day it's the latest is, well, we can't use the name pet anymore because that's demeaning to the animal. What? It's just one thing after another. Like, they're just trying to find anything they can to make an issue out of. And that's what I mean by piranha thinking. It's just getting way out of hand.
Well, all right, gentlemen, let's talk about one. Do you feel comfortable? Let's talk to the young guys. Hey, Jeremiah, do you feel comfortable in a Tesla that drives itself? Are you comfortable getting into a car and let the car drive itself?
Beep.
What was that?
No. I almost cursed. So I was bleeping out my curse word. But heck no.
Okay, so I have a question for, what about you, Spencer? Would you feel comfortable in a Tesla that's driving you around?
I'm gonna say this. I haven't been in a Tesla, but I have been in a Toyota Camry that had a driver assist. And I wanna say couple times driving that car and forth from here to where it was going to North Carolina, I didn't use the steering wheel. It's not as good as a Tesla, but the technology that was on, this is 2018 Toyota Camry. But the driving assisting, it has assisting braking, so it detects, so when you're on cruise control, it has lane assistance. It's not as good. It's not as good as a Tesla, but it keeps you in the lane. And also, it brakes. You know, let's say you have a cruise at about 60. There's a car in front of you. It'll brake to about 55 and just follow until that car pulls off. And then it will gradually speed up to 60. So the technology is nice. So would I, based on that, I think the Tesla is far better. Based on that, I keep my eyes on the road. But I would to a degree. Hopefully, don't make me sleepy or anything like that. If something bad happens, but I would let a Tesla drive me around. Long, you know, if I'm focusing and everything, I'll let it drive me around. Because most of the cars now, they could back in, they could park themselves. I think the new Audi I just seen. You get out your car, it finds the parking spot for you, parks it. The car valets itself for you now, and then it'll back out and it'll come right to you wherever you are. So technology is getting better. I think in a couple of years, maybe 5 to 6 years, we're going to really have driverless cars there. I think, was it Walmart? I'm not sure. There's a company now that's experimenting with delivery with these egg cars, those like an egg, and they just deliver your stuff for you. That thing,
Spencer, you think it'll be safe with the heavy amounts of traffic, like in places like Cali, Miami, New York, with the Tesla driving you on its own?
Well, I would think, I mean, since it's in Cali, I would think those are the best places to do the study, because those have traffic. So if you want to do your study and your experiments, I think that's why it was there. And I think all the information they have now is based on it being those high congested traffic areas like L.A. or, Dallas, D.C., wherever. You know, Atlanta's pretty bad, too. So I think with that, with what they have gathered and what they already put in the Tesla, and to see, you know, they have went through some rough patches. A couple of them has crashed and things like that. But you learn from your mistakes. And I think eventually I would say in between the next 5 to 10 years, really 5 to 7 years, we're really going to have the technology to make self-driverless cars really, really an integral part of our life. You know, I think the technology is just going to get better from what they already have now, that it could do it already now. And this is, and you know, Tesla being one of the top of the lines, they're putting in the Lexuses, they're putting in the Mercedes. These other car companies are doing the same thing based on the studies and the technology that Telsa has already put out there, and it's only going to get better. So, we're, you know, it's just like cell phones. It's just like anything comes with technology. It's going to become a part of our life, and eventually, not now, but eventually, there's going to be fuel gas cars and more electric cars, and there's going to be more driverless cars. So
right.
It's scary.
I want to get to the point for me asking you this question, because over the weekend, the Airbus that is driven by satellite and driven without pilots took off and started its first trip. So the first plane without pilots has taken off and flew from one European city to the next one, and seems to it did it well. Would you ride in a plane without pilots, Bruce?
Jesus.
Hell no. Hell no. Not if I knew it was without pilots. I mean, they might put me on a plane. I may not know it. But if I knew, yes or no, no way.
But the planes are already driving.
And as far as let me add one more thing real quick. We could take the utilities we have called modern expressways, although they're not express, highways, and if we could make some kind of quick, some sort of conversion package that we could put on our cars we already own, we could turn what we say super highways, which they're anything but, into really super highways. We could make people space properly, get them off their hands off the steering wheel, and keep them at a steady pace. They would get there much faster than the tortoise and the hare scenario, where you see someone flying up to the next traffic light and stopping, and flying up to the next one, and you're going along at a nice steady speed, and you get there before he does. That would be a great way to not having to build a whole new infrastructure, to use the infrastructure we have in the high volume areas like Detroit, you know what I'm talking about, David, and every other major city. The major big flow would flow much faster, much smoother, much more efficiently than they do now. So why in the devil they're not working on that, I don't know. But with today's technology, you got to believe they could do that with, you know, guide wires in the concrete and all of that, that they could do that if they really wanted to. And then you get your privilege back, or your command of your vehicle back, when you get off that superhighway.
Right, but what you don't know is you're getting on a plane. The reason I'm saying this, a lot of people are flying, and now they've tested it and it worked. I could see airlines running into that, getting rid of the salary of pilots. That's a couple $100,000 of a year for the pilots. There's two pilots. That's a $500,000 a year of salary that these companies can get rid of. So I would see things without pilots being very popular.
The $10 million of lawsuits that creates will not.
Well,
$10 million, $10 billion.
They tested it and it worked. So the next thing I see is, the next time I get on a plane, I'm going to ask the question, who are the pilots? And they probably have names for the robots. They're probably robots that have names. They're not going to tell you.
Would you do it, David?
I prefer not to.
That's not what I asked you. Would you do it, David?
If I knew that it was not a pilot, no. If I knew that the plane I was getting on didn't have a pilot, I would not get on.
Maybe indeed it could be safer. But people's perception is, at least for a very long time, is no way would it be safer. I do not want the human element totally removed from that cockpit.
Right. Right. All right. We only have a minute and 57 seconds left, and there was something that came up that I want to run past you. Starting Monday, it's launching tomorrow, is a new news channel that will be subscription. You have to pay for it, and it's called the Black News Channel. It's called BNC, and they're going to do a big push, and you'll hear about it all over the place. But my question is, Then there might be the Mexican news channel, and then this Asian news channel. Is there some? It seems to me, with people with money are dividing us more and more. The man who's starting this was actually a former Republican congressman out of Oklahoma, so he's starting the Black News Channel, which kicks off tomorrow, and it have a big marketing campaign they're going to do, and it is targeted for the African American community. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, Jeremiah?
This is ridiculous. So, you know, I hope we have short time here, but I think it's a bad thing. What are, you know, you're focused towards Blacks or African Americans or whatever case may be, Black people. What are you offering them? Like, they can get the news on any other source. Like, you have to pay for a subscription. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's going
that's
to be
another secure. Way to collect your dollar and divide you.
What about you, Spencer?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. We have enough, you know, we have enough Black news channels as it is, as far as, well, BET, and I mean, but it also might be a good thing. I have to watch it and see, but I really don't want to pay to hear the news, the Black people news. I mean, that's what I got the shame for and TMZ for, I guess.
All right, I'm sorry, but I got to bring it to a close.
I got to add one thing. Please let me add one thing.
Please, quickly.
That all Black news channel, would really get people's attention is they could come on and say, we're going to give you the real news. No slant, no opinion, no nothing other than news. They would have a following that they could not handle. Everybody, I would go there first thing.
All right. I want to thank you for listening to The Man's Voice. I see a ton of people out there listening, so we will be back again next week, same time, 6 o'clock next Sunday. You guys, thank you for being here, and have a great week. All right.
Have a good week, guys.
You too. Guess what, guys?
Take care.
I have a question. Wait a minute. Next week, Jeremiah, you said something that brought me up, and I forgot to bring it up. You said, when my fiance talked to me, I see we got to fiance. We never heard the word fiance before. Do we got a wedding day coming up? We all got to come down there?
I'll keep
we
you
have
going
a holiday
before.
Next week.
I said next week.
We have a holiday. Are we off or not?